Okay, there are several devotees that got affected by the hurricane, and so we're going to chant the prayers to Lord Nrsingadev to protect them and to protect the temple and protect the deities. And I was just speaking to one temple that is in my GBC zone today, which is Orlando, Florida. And the temple is gradually getting more and more flooded. So they're having to evacuate the deities, the deity clothes, the deity jewelry. And hopefully, the temple won't go completely underwater. But the water level is increasing there, so we're concerned. And the devotees have a safe place to go. They're all evacuating and going somewhere safe. So we're concerned with the devotees, but they'll be all right. And then we're concerned with the temple and the deities. We'll see what happens. These things are outside of our control, as are most things in this world. This is a super big hurricane, and they say it's historical, once in 1,000 years or 100 years or something like that. And tomorrow it will be coming to North Carolina, but as a tropical storm. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to go online tomorrow. That is, we may not have electricity and we may not have internet tomorrow. So if I'm not online, I will send a notice out, as long as I have the internet, to send a notice out that I won't be able to do it tomorrow. But today we are all right. So let's chant the prayers of the Lord Nrsingadev.
Sing a day, let's sing a day.
Maharaj Jai Pralad Maharaj Pralad Maharaj Pralad Maharaj Pralad Maharaj Jai Pralad Maharaj Jai Prabhupada 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 Jai Prabhupada Prabhupada Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paramahansa Alta Teta Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhayachadana Avaktapananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Rem Sai Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shibasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindigajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Gidio Vrindan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannath Sami Kijai Munamai Kijai Shimati Talasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Vakta Vrindigajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Noa Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nevashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. As I offer my respectful obeisances, so actually, first, let me read the translation. I offer my obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev, who gives joy to his dearmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, and whose nails are as chisels on the stone like checks. A chest of the demon Aranyakashipu. Lord Nrsingha is here, and Lord Nrsingha is also there. Wherever I go, there is Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev is outside, and Lord Nrsingadev is within the heart. Unto Lord Nrsingadev, the origin and supreme shelter, I surrender. And let's see. O Kesava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of half man, half lion, all glory is to you. Just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails, so in the same way the body of a wasp-like devotee, Aranyakashipu, has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. Srimad Bhagavan Ki Jai, we're praying for the protection of all the devotees. I mean, every day we should pray for the protection, and we do. After the RT, we chant the prayers of the Lord Nrsingadev, but tonight we're doing it for the protection, basically, well, the devotees in Ukraine, the devotees all over the world, and especially for the devotees who are being subjected to this hurricane, tropical storm, and inclement weather, and health problems. You know, just protecting all the devotees. We're praying to Krishna that Krishna will protect all the devotees who are very dear to him. Okay, so let's go on to the Krishna book. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurin Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So now we're going to share. And we're on chapter 45 of the Krishna book. That's pretty ecstatic. All right, let's share the screen. Give me a second. All right, there we go. Krishna book ki jai. Let's get this set up in the proper way. Okay, here we go. Okay, we're reading from chapter 45. Chapter 45 is Krishna recovers the son of his teacher. So of course, teacher is son of Pani Muni. When Lord Krishna saw Vasudeva and Devaki standing in a reverential attitude, he immediately expanded his influence of Yogamaya so that they would treat him and Balaram as children. As in the material world, the relationship existing between father and mother and children can be established among different living entities by the influence of the illusory energy, so by the influence of Yogamaya, a devotee can establish a relationship in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is his child. So, of course, in the material world, it's illusion. And in the spiritual world, it's transcendental illusion. Because really, Krishna has no father. Krishna has no mother. Why? Aham bija pradapitam. Krishna is the father of everybody. So if Krishna is the father of everybody, how can anyone be his father? But Krishna enjoys the relationship between father and son, and so he has his illusory yogamaya potency cause his father and his mother to think that they are in charge of him and he is dependent. Even he causes himself to think that he's dependent on their mercy. Although no one is necessary for the Lord's mercy, and the Lord is not dependent upon anyone's mercy, still, Krishna enjoys that relationship. Krishna is, of course, independent. He's up to kama. He can create his own reality, and that reality is real. Krishna can do anything he wants. He doesn't need anyone else. Swarat, independent, but still, he likes to be dependent upon his devotees. After creating the situation by his Yogamaya, Krishna appeared with his elder brother Balaram as the most illustrious son in the dynasty of the Satvatas. Very submissively and respectfully addressed Vasudeva Devaki, my dear father and mother, although you have always been anxious for the protection of our lives, you could not enjoy the pleasure of having us as your babies, as your growing boys and girls, and as your adolescent youths. Krishna indirectly praised the fatherhood of Nanda Maharaj and the motherhood of Yashoda as most glorious because although he and Balaram were not their born sons, Nanda and Yashoda actually enjoyed their childhood pastimes. By nature's own arrangement, the childhood of the embodied living being is enjoyed by his parents. Even in the animal kingdom, parents are found to be very affectionate to their cubs. Being captivated by the activities of their offspring, they take much care for their well-being. As for Vasudeva and Devaki, they were always anxious for the protection of their sons, Krishna and Balaram. That is why Krishna, after his appearance, was immediately transferred to another's house. Balaram was also transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. Vasudeva and Devaki were full of anxieties for Krishna's and Balaram's protection, but they could not enjoy their childhood pastimes. Krishna said, unfortunately, being ordered by our fate, we could not be raised by our own parents to enjoy childhood pleasures at home. My dear father and mother, a man cannot repay his debt to his parents from whom he gets this body, which can bestow upon him all the benefits of material existence. According to the Vedic injunctions, this human form of life enables one to perform all kinds of religious activities, fulfill all kinds of desires, and acquire all kinds of wealth. And only in this human form is there every possibility that one can get liberation from material existence. This body is produced by the combined efforts of the father and mother. Every human being should be obliged to his parents and understand that he cannot repay his debt to them. If after growing up, a son does not try to satisfy his parents by his actions or by an endowment of riches, he is surely punished after death by the superintendent of death and made to eat his own flesh. Oh my God. Of course, if one surrenders to Krishna and the parents are not happy with that, Then Krishna says, aham tvam sarvapetvebhyo mokshayami masucha, don't worry. But anyway, if your parents are devotees, yep, you better listen to them. If they're good devotees. If a person is able to care for or give protection to old parents, a chaste wife, children, the spiritual master, brahmanas and other dependents, but does not do so, he is considered already dead, although he is supposedly breathing. My dear father and mother, you have always been anxious for our protection, but unfortunately we could not render any service to you. Until now we have simply wasted our time due to reasons beyond our control. We could not serve you. Mother and father, please excuse us for our sinfulness. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking as an innocent boy with very sweet words, Vasudeva and Devaki became captivated by parental affection and embraced him with great pleasure. They were amazed and could not speak, but simply embraced Krishna and Balaram in great affection and remained silent, shedding incessant tears. Thus, having consoled, thus having consoled his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as the beloved son of Devaki, let me just make it a little louder. Well, it's pretty loud. Anyway, just a little louder. Approached his grandfather Ugrasena, announced that Ugrasena would now be the king of the Yadu dynasty, or Yadu kingdom. Kamsa had been forcibly ruling the kingdom of Yadu in spite of the presence of his father, whom he had arrested. But after the death of Kamsa, his father was released and announced to be the monarch of the Yadu dynasty. It appeared that in those days, in the western part of India, there were many small kingdoms ruled by the Yadu dynasty, Andaka dynasty, Rishni dynasty, and Bhoja dynasty. Maharaj Ugrasena belonged to the Bhoja dynasty. Therefore, Krishna indirectly declared that the king of the Bhoja dynasty would be the emperor of the other small kingdoms. Krishna willingly asked Maharaj Ugrasena to rule over himself and Balaram because they were his subjects. The word puja is used both for progeny and for citizens. So Krishna belonged to the praja both as a grandson of Maharaj Ugrasena's and as a member of the Yadu dynasty. Thus he voluntarily accepted the rule of Maharaja Ugrasena. He informed Ugrasena, being cursed by Yayati, the kings of the Yadu dynasty may not occupy the throne. It will be our pleasure to act as your servants. My full cooperation with you will make your position more exalted and secure, so that the kings of other dynasties will not hesitate to pay their respective revenues. Protected by me, you will be honored even by the demigods from the heavenly planets. My dear grandfather, out of fear of my late uncle Kamsa, all the kings belonging to the Yadu, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Dasharha, and Kukura dynasties were very anxious and disturbed. Now you can pacify them all and give them assurance of security. The whole kingdom will be peaceful. All the kings in the neighboring area had left their homes in fear of Kamsa and were living in distant parts of the country. Now, after the death of Kamsa and the reinstallment of Ugrasena as king, the neighboring kings were given all kinds of presentations and comforts. Then they returned to their respective homes. After this nice political arrangement, the citizens of Mathura were pleased to live in Mathura, being protected by the strong arms of Krishna and Balaram. On account of good government in the presence of Krishna and Balaram, the inhabitants of Mathura felt complete satisfaction in the fulfillment of all their material desires and necessities. And because they saw Krishna and Balaram daily face to face, they soon forgot all material miseries completely. As soon as they saw Krishna and Balaram coming out on the street, very nicely dressed and smiling and looking at the citizens with grace, the citizens were immediately filled with loving ecstasy simply by seeing the personal presence of Mukunda. The name Mukunda refers to one who can award liberation and transcendental bliss, and also one who has a face like a lotus flower. Krishna's presence acted as such a vitalizing tonic that not only the younger generation, but even the old men of Mathura became fully invigorated with youthful energy and strength by regularly seeing him. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were also living in Mathura because Krishna and Balaram were there. But after some time, they wanted to go back to Vrindavana. Krishna and Balaram went before Nanda and Yashoda and very affectionately embraced them, and then the two lords spoke as follows. Dear father and mother, although we were born of Vasudeva and Devaki, who have been our real father and mother because from our very birth and childhood, you raised us with great affection and love. Your affectionate love for us was more than anyone can offer one's own children. You are actually our father and mother because you raised us as your own children when we were just like orphans. For certain reasons, we were rejected by our father and mother and you protected us. Dear father and mother, we know that you will feel separation upon returning to Vrindavan and leaving us here. But please rest assured that we shall come back to Vrindavan just after giving some satisfaction to our real father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, and our grandfather and other family members. Krishna Balaram thus satisfied Nanda and Yashoda by sweet words and by presentations of various kinds of clothing, ornaments, and copper utensils. They satisfied them along with their friends and neighbors who had come with them from Vrindavan to Mathura as fully as possible. On account of excessive parental affection for Balaram and Krishna, Nanda Maharaj felt tears in his eyes and he embraced them and started with the coward men for Vrindavana. After this, Vasudeva had his sons initiated by sacred thread as the token of second birth, which is essential for the higher castes of human society. Vasudeva called for his family priest and learned brahmanas, and the sacred thread ceremony of Krishna and Balaram was duly performed. During the ceremony, Vasudeva gave various ornaments in charity to the brahmanas and endowed them with cows decorated with silken cloths and golden ornaments. Then Vasudeva remembered the cows he had wanted to give in charity to the brahmins after the birth of Krishna and Balaram. But being imprisoned by Kamsa at that time, Vasudeva had been able to do so only within his mind, for Kamsa had stolen all his cows. With the death of Kamsa, his cows were released, and now Vasudeva gave the actual cows to the brahmanas. Then Balaram and Krishna were duly initiated with the sacred thread ceremony, and they repeated the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is offered to disciples after the sacred thread ceremony, and Balaram and Krishna properly discharged the duties of chanting this mantra. Anyone who executes the chanting of this mantra has to abide by certain principles and vows. Although Balaram and Krishna are transcendental personalities, they strictly follow the regular principles. They were initiated by their family priest, Gargacharya, usually known as Gargamuni, the Acharya of the Yadav dynasty. According to Vedic culture, every respectable family has an Acharya or spiritual master. One is not considered a perfectly cultured man without being initiated and trained by an Acharya. It is said, therefore, that one who has approached an Acharya is actually in perfect knowledge. Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram are the Supreme Personality of God and the Master of all education and knowledge. There was no need for them to accept a spiritual master or Acharya. Yet for the instruction of ordinary men, they also accepted a spiritual master for advancement in spiritual knowledge. It is customary after being initiated in the Gayatri Mantra for one to live away from home for some time under the care of the Acharya to be trained in spiritual life. During this period, one has to work under the spiritual master as an ordinary menial servant. There are many rules and regulations for a brahmachari living under the care of an Acharya, and Krishna and Balaram strictly follow these regulative principles while living under the instruction of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Of course, Sandipani Muni was their Shiksha Guru, that means instructing guru, whereas Gargamuni, Gargacharya, was actually the initiating guru. Sandipani Muni, who was a resident of Avantipur, in northern Indian district of Ujjain. And actually, in ISKCON, we have this very nice temple in Ujjain, which was established by His Holiness Bhakti Chu Maharaj. And in that temple, they actually have a deity, Anavyasa-san, of Sandipani Muni. It's a very important place. According to scriptural injunction, A spiritual master should be respected and regarded on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram, exactly following those On equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram exactly follow those principles with great devotion and underwent the regulations of Brahmacharya. Thus they satisfied their spiritual master who instructed them in Vedic knowledge. So this is actually very important for people to have basic training in Krishna consciousness. And this stated in the Bhagavatam, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Gororitam Archiyan Dasavan Nicho. Then one should go to the ashram of the spiritual master, be trained as a brahmachari, or brahmachari. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta. He learns to become tame, or tame his senses, and Guror Itam, work for the benefit of the spiritual master. He learns good behavior. Dasavan, he learns that he is a servant. Dasavan means full of service. Anyway, so he learns all these different qualities, and that's the description of the Bhagavatam about how a brahmachari is trained. It's like basic training in the army. So being very satisfied, and if they don't have that basic training, it's very hard for someone to imbibe the spirit of being a servant. His whole identity is now being transformed from trying to be the master, or thinking oneself to be the master, to thinking oneself a servant. Gopi Bharata Padakamala, Dasa, Dasa, Dasana, Dasa. So that's our identity. We're servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. And Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, one who says he's my devotee of devotee. A devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. Being very satisfied, Sandipani Muni instructed them in all the intricacies of Vedic wisdom and in supplementary literature such as the Upanishads. Because Krishna and Balaram happened to be Kshatriyas, they were specifically trained in military science, politics, and ethics. Politics includes such departments of knowledge as how to make peace, how to fight, how to pacify, how to divide and rule, and how to give shelter. All these items were fully explained and instructed to Krishna Balaram. The ocean is the source of water in a river. The cloud is created by the evaporation of ocean water, and the same water is distributed as rain all over the surface of the earth, and then returns to the ocean and rivers. So Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are the source of all knowledge, but because they were playing like ordinary human boys, they set the example so that everyone would receive knowledge from the right source. Thus they agreed to take knowledge from a spiritual master. After hearing only once from their teacher, Krishna and Balaram learned all the arts and sciences. In 64 days and 64 nights, they learned all the necessary arts and sciences required in human society. During the daytime, they took lessons on a subject from the teacher, and by nightfall, they were expert in that department of knowledge. Of course, we cannot do that. First of all, they learned how to sing, how to compose songs, and how to recognize the different tunes. They learned the favorable and unfavorable accents and meters, how to sing different kinds of rhythms and melodies, and how to follow them by beating different kinds of drums. They learned how to dance to the rhythm, melody, and different songs, because they already knew this. But, you know, they were the ones who actually gave the knowledge to their teacher. But, for the sake of Ras, they actually pretended that they were learning 64 days. They learned how to write dramas, and they learned the various types of painting, from simple village arts up to the highest perfectional stage. They also learned how to paint tilak on the face by making different kinds of dots on the forehead and cheeks. Then they learned the art of making paintings on the floor with liquid paste of rice and flour. Such paintings are very popular at auspicious ceremonies performed at household affairs or in the temple. They learned how to make a resting place with flowers and how to decorate clothing and limbs with colorful paintings. They also learned how to set valuable jewels and ornaments. They learned the art of wringing water pots. Water pots are filled with water to a certain measurement, so that as one beats on the pots, different tones are produced, and we've seen this. And when the pots are beaten together, they produce a melodious sound. In other words, you beat them at certain intervals, and you could play any sort of sound. They also learned how to splash water in the rivers and lakes while taking a bath among friends. They learned how to decorate with flowers. This art of decorating can be seen in various temples of Vrindavan during the summer season. It is called Phoolobadi. The dais, the throne, the walls, and the ceiling are all fully decorated, and a small amount of aromatic fountain of flowers. A small aromatic fountain of flowers is fixed in the center. Because of these floral decorations, the people fatigued from the heat of the summer become refreshed. Krishna and Balaram learn the art of dressing hair in various styles and fixing a helmet in different positions on the head. They also learn how to set up a theatrical stage, how to decorate dramatic actors with costumes and with flower ornaments over the ear, and how to sprinkle sandalwood pulp and water to produce a nice fragrance. They also learn the art of performing magical feats. Within the magical field, there's an art called Bahurui, by which a person dresses himself in such a way that when he approaches a friend, he cannot be recognized. Krishna and Balaram also learned how to make various syrups and beverages required at various times, having various tastes and intoxicating effects. They also learned different types of sewing and embroidery work, as well as how to manipulate thin threads for dancing puppets. That's called a marionette. This art includes how to string wires and musical instruments such as the bina, sitar, istaraj, and tambora to produce melodious sounds. Then they learn how to make and solve riddles. They learn the art of how even a dull student can very quickly learn the alphabet and read books. Then they learn how to rehearse and act out a drama. They also study the art of solving crossword puzzles, filling up the missing spaces, and making complete words. They also learn how to draw and read pictographic literature. In some countries in the world, pictographic literature is still current. A story is represented by pictures. For instance, a man and house are pictured to represent a man going home. Krishna and Balaram also learn the art of architecture, how to construct residential buildings. They learn how to recognize valuable jewels by studying their luster and colors. Then they learn the art of placing jewels in a gold and silver setting so that they look very beautiful. They also learn how to study soil to find minerals. This study of soil is now a greatly specialized science, but formerly it was common knowledge even for the ordinary man. They learn to study herbs and plants to discover how they would act as medicine for different ailments. By studying the different species of plants, they learned how to crossbreed plants and trees. Wow. So it wasn't Luther Burbank who was the origination of this. It was Krishna. And get different types of fruits. They learn how to train and engage rams and hawks in fighting for sport. Oh my God. They then learn how to teach parrots to speak and to answer the questions of human beings. They learn practical psychology, how to influence another's mind, and thus induce another to act according to one's own desire. Sometimes this is called hypnotism, or NLP. They learn how to wash hair, dye it different colors, and curl it in different ways. They learn the art of telling what is written in someone's book without actually seeing it. They learn to tell what is contained in another's fist. Sometimes children imitate this art, although not very accurately. One child keeps something within his fist and asks his friends, "Can you tell what is within?" And the friend gives some suggestion, although he actually cannot tell. But there is an art by which one can understand and actually tell what is held within the fist. Krishna and Balaram learn how to speak and understand the languages of various countries. Not only did they learn the languages of human beings, Krishna could also speak even with animals and birds. Evidence of this is found in the Vaishnava literature compiled by the Goswamis. Then they learn how to make carriages and airplanes from flowers. It is said in the Ramayana that after defeating Ravana, Ramachandra was carried from Lanka to Bharatavarsha on a plane of flowers called a Pushpaka Rata, also called Pushpaka Vimana. Krishna and Balaram then learned the art of foretelling events by seeing signs. In a book called Kanara Vachana, the various types of signs and omens are described. if when one is going out, one sees someone with a bucket full of water, that is a very good sign. But if one sees someone with an empty bucket, it's not a good sign. Similarly, if one sees a cow being milked alongside his calf, it is a good sign. The result of understanding these signs is that one can foretell events, and Krishna and Balaram learn the science. We talked about that yesterday. They also learn the art of composing matrika. A matrika is like a crossword box with three numbers in each row. If one adds any three from any side, it will come to nine. The matrikas are of different kinds and for different purposes. Krishna and Balaram learn the art of cutting valuable stones such as diamonds, and they also learn the art of questioning and answering by immediately composing poetry within the mind. They learn the science of action and reaction, of physical combinations and permutations. They learn the art of a psychiatrist who can understand the psychic movements of another person. They learn how to satisfy one's desires. Desires are very difficult to fulfill, but if one's desire is something which is unreasonable and can never be fulfilled, the desire can be subdued and satisfied, and that is an art. By this art, one can also subdue sex impulses when they are aroused, as they are even in brahmachari life. By this art, one can make even an enemy one's friend or transfer the direct action of a physical element to other things. Lord Krishna and Balaram, the reservoir of all knowledge, exhibited their perfect understanding of all the arts and sciences mentioned above. Then they offered to serve their teacher by awarding him anything he desired. This offering by the student to the teacher or spiritual master is called Guru Dakshina. It is essential that a student satisfy the teacher in return for any learning received, either material or spiritual. When Krishna and Balaram offered their service in this way, the teacher, Sandipani Muni, thought it wise to ask them for something extraordinary, something no common student could offer. He therefore consulted with his wife about what to ask for them. Let me just... Okay, let's go back to what to offer. Let's see, or what to ask for them. He and his wife had already seen the extraordinary potencies of Krishna and Balaram, could understand that the two boys were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They decided to ask for the return of their son, who had drowned in the ocean near the shore at Prabhasa Kshetra. When Krishna and Balaram heard from their teacher about the death of his son, they immediately started for Prabhasa Kshetra on their chariot. Reaching the beach, they asked the controlling deity of the ocean to return the son of their teacher. The ocean deity immediately appeared before the Lord and offered him all respectful obeisances with great humility. The Lord said, "Some time back, you caused the drowning of the son of our teacher. I order you to return him." The ocean deity replied, "The boy was not actually taken by me, but was captured by a demon named Panchajanya. This great demon generally remains deep in the water in the shape of a conch shell. The son of your teacher might be within the belly of the demon, having been devoured by him." On hearing this, Krishna dove deep into the water and caught hold of the demon Panchajanya. He killed him on the spot, but could not find the son of his teacher within his belly. Therefore, he took the demon's dead body in the shape of a conch shell and returned to his chariot on the beach of Prabhasa Kshetra. From there, he started for Samyamayi, the residence of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, who is also known as Hala Yuda. Krishna arrived there and blew on his conch shell. Of course, by killing Panchajanya, they actually got a conch shell from him. Hearing these vibrations, Yamaraj appeared and received Sri Krishna with all respectful obeisances. Yamaraj could understand who Krishna and Balaram were, and therefore he immediately offered his humble service to the Lord. Krishna had appeared on the surface of the earth like an ordinary human being. But actually, Krishna and Balaram are the super soul living within the heart of every living entity. They are Vishnu himself, but were playing just like ordinary human boys. When Yamaraj offered his services to the Lord, Sri Krishna asked him to return his teacher's son, who had come to him as a result of his work. Considering my ruling supreme, said Krishna, you should immediately return the son of my teacher. Yamaraj returned the boy to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna and Balaram brought him to his father. The brothers asked if their teacher had anything more to ask from him. But he replied, my dear sons, you have done enough for me. I am now completely satisfied. What further want can there be for a man who has disciples like you? My dear boys, you may now go home. These glorious acts of yours will always be renowned all over the world. You are above all blessings, yet it is my duty to bless you. I therefore give you the benediction that whatever you speak will remain eternally fresh as the instructions of the Vedas. Your teachings will be honored not only within this universe or in this millennium, but in all places of ages, and will remain increasingly new and important. Due to this benediction from his teacher, Lord Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is ever increasingly fresh and is renowned not only within this universe, but in other planets and other universes also. Being ordered by their teacher, Krishna and Balaram immediately returned home on their chariot. They traveled at great speed, like the wind, and made sounds like the crashing of clouds. All the residents of Mathura, who had not seen Krishna and Balaram for a long time, were very much pleased to see them again. They felt joyful, like a person who has regained his lost property. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 45th chapter of Krishna. Krishna recovers the son of his teacher. And we're not going to go ahead to the next chapter, since it's actually quite deep and it'll require some explanation and study. So as far as Krishna's interactions with his teacher are concerned, he sets the best example. And the best example is to surrender to the spiritual master. There's many stories in the Mahabharata about this, how the spiritual master would test a devotee's surrender. One particular story is quite interesting. Actually, there's several stories that are very interesting. Once upon a time, the spiritual master asked the disciple, you go and make sure that the irrigation ditches in the field are properly situated so that the water will flow properly. So he goes to the field and he finds a break in one of the irrigation ditches. So what he does, I guess he didn't have a shovel or any way to fix it, he lay down there, and laying down there, he was able to seal the break so the water would be able to flow over him and irrigate the field, and the spiritual master was very, very pleased with him. Another story in the Mahabharata was that the spiritual master had a disciple who was a little bit too heavy. And so he told that disciple, go out and take care of the cows, you know, get some exercise. So the disciple was taking care of the cows, getting some exercise, but he was still becoming more heavy. And then Guru said, what are you doing? He said, I'm begging and people are giving me food. And the Guru says, well, when you beg, you have to give me the results of whatever you get. And so he does that, but he's still getting a little bigger. And the Guru says, what are you doing now? He said, well, I'm begging for myself, for you one time, and then begging for myself the second time. And the Guru says, no, every time you beg for me and give me the results. And he says, yes, Gurudev. But then he keeps getting heavier. And the Guru asks, what are you doing now? He said, basically, I'm drinking the milk from the cows. You know, after the cows drink the milk, I take some. And the Guru says, no, 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 that's not a good idea. And then he keeps getting heavier. And then the Guru says, why are you getting heavier? He says, well, I'm drinking the froth from the cow's udder after the cows take their milk. And the guru says, no, don't do that. And then he says, remember, don't eat. So anyway, so then what happens is the disciple gets so hungry that he grabs some leaves from a tree, eats them, and becomes blind, falls in a ditch. The guru gets worried, starts looking for him, finds him in a ditch, and he tells him, instead of rescuing him, pray to the Ashwini Kumaras and they will save you. So the disciple prays to the Ashwini Kumaras, the Heavenly Society physicians, and they come and they give this disciple a cake and they say, eat the cake and you get your eyes back. And he basically says, no, I have to have my guru's permission to eat. And then they say, well, your guru took this cake, it's all right. And they said, no, without my guru's permission, I will not eat anything. So then what happened is that the Ashwini Kumaras were so pleased with him, they gave him his sight back. And the guru was so pleased with him, he blessed him, and then he allowed him to leave, having learned his lesson and basic training. Anyway, so Krishna is showing this same sort of paradigm in his example of a relationship with his guru. Of course, none of us can save someone from death like Krishna did, but we should be ready to sacrifice ourselves and do what is necessary to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. So, like in my life, I've dedicated myself to the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, on that happy note, we'll start with chapter 46 tomorrow. If, here's an announcement, since some of you were not present when I made the announcement, if we're able to go online tomorrow, because we're expecting the remnants of a hurricane, probably a tropical storm tomorrow, we may lose electricity, we may lose the internet, and it's hard to say what will happen tomorrow. So based on that, if we don't show up tomorrow, I'll send a notice out, hopefully, and we'll continue the next day or the day after when we get our electricity back. Because the storm, Ion, which has just hit Florida, is now making its way to South Carolina, and eventually will come to North Carolina on Saturday. But we're going to start to get, I know tomorrow's Friday, but we're going to actually start to get some of the wind, actually, even in the middle of the day. Okay, so we'll take questions. Hold on a second. Let me unmute you or allow you to unmute. Someone texted me already. Okay. Whoops. I didn't do that right. Yeah. Someone texted me, whoever AD is. Awadi Guru. My message is, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Gurudev, the son of Pani Muni, know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I assume so. Where is Samyamani, that's Yamaraj's abode, it's the lower regions of the universe. I don't know which of the 14 lokas it's situated in. Maybe I'll find out after I leave this world, so hopefully not. Hopefully I will go on to serve Krishna in the next life, and hopefully I will either that or go back to Godhead. Anyway, I just want to serve Prabhupada eternally somehow or other. Okay, so sorry I didn't know how to locate the place. I guess you can Google it. You can go on Google Maps and just like type it in, and then maybe you can figure out where it is. So, okay, Madhava, you have a question. You can unmute yourself. You're not unmuted, you're muted. Your phone or whatever. Okay, now you are.
Okay, Dandavat Pranam Gurudev. So, I know when you're describing Krishna, when actually he told, Nanda Maharaj, so that he is not the actual son of theirs, but they raised him from his parents' original, they abandoned him, so yes. He is everything, so he's, but again, when we hear that Krishna was really born to Nanda and Yasoda, so how he contradicting this, because that's what they understood in So how to understand this?
Well, that being born to Nanda Yasoda is a very esoteric, hidden thing. That's like esoteric means basically hidden. It's a very hidden, deep meaning given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So nobody really knew that, except for the great acharyas who understood it. So yeah, they didn't know that. Does that explain it?
Yes. Nandotma.
Extensively, it appeared that Krishna appeared from Vasudeva and Devaki, and that was common knowledge. But this whole esoteric thing of that Yashoda Maya gave birth to a little boy and a little girl, and then Vasudev, Krishna was born from from Devaki and Devaki and Vasudev, and then that Vasudev Krishna, when he was bought to Vrindavan, he merged into Yashodanandana. But that's very esoteric, very, very esoteric. So that wasn't known at all. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you very much. And so, Rishikesh, you have a question.
Yes, Gurudev. I wanted to clarify. Sandipani Muni, you know, is a guru of Krishna. He's very highly advanced in self-realization also, you know. But it's finding it very strange that he's still attached to his dead son, you know. Is just a pastime or just a...
No, shouldn't devotees love their sons?
Even yeah, but he's already dead. I mean, you know, if he's already dead, then why is so much attached? He knows he's a soul.
Yes, he knows. He knows that, but he loves his son. You know, I mean, I think if you try to think, you know, if you impose upon devotees sort of an impersonal conception that you don't have love or want to see your son or want to see your father, then you got some personalism. So devotees,
Krishna,
you know,
says not to lament. You know, Gaur Kita says not to lament for living and dead.
He's not lamenting. I don't think he's lamenting. He's actually wanting to see him. He wants to be with him. There's no question that he was crying or lamenting or anything like that. I'm reading. But he wanted to see him. He loved his son. You know, we love people, you know. Just like I'm thinking about some of my godbrothers who passed away. You know, I'd love to bring them back. Isn't it? You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but you know, I'm feeling great separation. And obviously, Sandipani Muni's son was a devotee. And you know, devotees can naturally have affection for their children. We don't want to just like... Oops, a lot of noise. We don't want to make ourselves impersonalist and have no affection for anyone. I mean, a devotee also has a human side to him or her. Otherwise, you know, it's very callous. So, and also he wanted to see Krishna's power. He wanted to glorify Krishna. Yes, that's what Gopal said. He wanted to demonstrate his amazing disciples' unlimited power. So also he wanted to see that. But basically, yeah, he loved his son. I mean, I can think of people I'd want to bring back. Of course, devotees, they're not dead per se. They've gone on to serve Krishna, but I definitely would like to see them. Again, I'm feeling great separation, so why not? You know, and we lament also the departure of a devotee. But in any case, we're not impersonalists. Impersonalist means having no feelings. You know, just love Krishna. And, you know, so what if I step on an ant? That's his karma. I stepped on him. He's actually fortunate I stepped on him and crushed him. You know, or that's the karma of people all over the world who were dying. You know, we naturally feel compassion and sorrow and things like that. There's, you know, a devotee is holistic. I think that's a really important point. Anyway, he wasn't lamenting. wasn't lamenting, but he wanted his son back. And also we find that Devaki wanted her sons back later on. And Krishna brought the six sons back. And basically they were liberated as a result of that. So, you know, she's a pure devotee. I mean, that there's natural affection. I mean, I can't say that I don't have natural affection even for my mother and father, who are not devotees. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to go to Krishna and ask for them to come back. I mean, they're better situated now anyway. But, you know, there's natural affection. One may be a pure devotee. Prabhupada had natural affection for his family. He made arrangements after he left, and when he was getting ready to leave this world, he made arrangements that they would be taken care of financially. Even though, practically speaking, as a sannyasi, he had no responsibility. He tried to engage his son, Vrindavan Das, in distributing books, Prabhupada's books, so that Vrindavan Das would have a means of livelihood. Vrindavan, not Vrindavan Das, Vrindavan, which was his son. So anyway, so yes, why not? I think that's a good question and a very important answer.
Thank you, Guru.
One can. Just don't picture a devotee being just like heartless. You know, a devotee has heart. I mean, even though, you know, I see people suffering around the world, I understand theoretically that they are suffering due to their karma, but also I feel compassion and sorrow to see them suffering. And so it's like that with family members too. I think that's really important, more important than demonstrating Krishna's power like I was, showing that a devotee is holistic rather than just hard-hearted. You know, why not love your children? I mean, if the children are not devotees, yeah, you still care for them, but, you know, whatever. I mean, at that point, your relationship is different. I'm not going to get into giving anyone advice as far as that's concerned. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you all for joining us. It's now time.
There is one other question in the chat, Gurudev.
Yeah. The signs of and omens?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Someone asked.
I don't know. Who would know that? I mean, that takes an expert in signs and omens. I already described only... There's only one sign and omen I know is when someone's eyes, right eye is blinking for a man, it's auspicious. Left eye is the opposite, inauspicious. And for a woman, left eye is auspicious, right eye is inauspicious for a woman. I mean, that's not my field of expertise. They describe all sorts of things. Like, we went over that in a previous class, that which side of the road the animal is on, if it's crossing right or left, or if you see a particular star in the sky. I mean, there's all sorts of things. I'm not... I mean, you don't expect me to know all that stuff. Kunti's wife knows all these things very well. Okay, so ask Kunti's wife. Anyway, I just depend on Krishna, and if my left eye starts blinking or twitching, then I stop it. And I chant Hare Krishna. It's not that something Prabhupada really got into. I mean, if you really get into these things like astrology and signs, then that's, you'll just live your life in fear or just by those signs. If you want to take shelter of Krishna, then, you know, we can be aware of them. I mean, like one day I was going to take an airplane and I walked out my door and there was a dead bird on the path. Canceled the flight, obviously. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Okay, hopefully we'll see you all tomorrow. Pray for the devotees who were affected by the flooding, especially the devotees in Florida. Might be some devotees in South Carolina. Of course, the hurricane regained its strength, or will regain its strength, and it's going to hit South Carolina. But we're in North Carolina, so it will be a tropical storm at worst in North Carolina. And it may be centered tomorrow midday or evening like that. Thank you very much. All glorious to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hari Bol. All right.